You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob, and this is episode number 470. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Hope all is well. We sure appreciate it.
We do appreciate it. And for everyone who has shared this podcast with a friend or someone who is just getting started with drones, thank you so much. If you really do care about drones, you care about expanding this industry through education and the progression of good information, then you have done the right thing. If you haven't done it already, please just take 30 seconds of your time. It really won't take that long. And just leave us a review. Share the podcast with someone that may find it useful or valuable. We really do appreciate that. Yep. Just like we appreciate the support from our sponsors like Drone Base. If you're a new pilot and you need to get some clients, maybe you need some practice, maybe you need to just go out and make some quick money, well, Drone Base is there to help you. If you go to go.dronebase.com/drone you, if you go there, you will see all of the cool little jobs that have been popping up in your area. There have been a lot of little panos popping up here. I know it's cold, the season is slowing down, but there are still plenty of little pieces and little jobs you can do if you have nothing else scheduled.
Absolutely. And guys, we are going to have the CEO of Drone Base on the show in a couple of weeks.
Very excited about that.
So we're excited about that. If you've got any questions for him, feel free to send them in. Same place you send in questions to us. We'd be happy to try to get as many of those on as possible when we talk to him.
Yes, definitely, awesome. Definitely. Well, let's move right into today's question, which is kind of coming from someone who just started their drone business. They've come up with this little kind of hiccup. They're wondering how to solve this problem. So if you're just like him, you're just starting out, this is going to help you.
What's up, Rob and Paul? This is Nick out of Atlanta, Georgia. Had a quick question for you. I've recently opened up my own drone photography and videography business, and I'm working on getting that buttery smooth filming cinematography shots that you've talked about. In the meantime, I am working on some construction stuff and projects like that that don't require that finesse. I don't think it'll take too terribly long for me to get that down, though, because video game experience, younger stuff. Anyway, but question. I just got done doing my first shoot. Use Verifly. That's awesome, by the way, to anybody that hasn't used it. Easy experience. Really, really cool. But the question is, once you get done with a shoot, if you don't have, say, the client there with you to show pictures on your phone, if it was just unedited pictures, like in this case, it was a couple rooftops, so, you know, and talking to him before I did the shoot and pricing and stuff, he literally just wanted straight shots, no editing, just needed to see the product of what he does with his company. But he wasn't there for me to show those to. So what is a good way to let him preview those? I know it's possible, but would it be a bad idea to put them in lower resolution into a Dropbox folder and share that folder inside of a subfolder with him to look at those? Or what? I mean, this is a guy that I trust. He's a friend of mine anyway, but I just want to get into the habit of not giving people access to the full res images, you know, before getting paid or whatever. I've invoiced him, and now I'm just, you know, he's got to go through the company or whatever and get me paid, so I'm just waiting on that. So yeah, if you could just answer that, that would be outstanding. You guys are awesome. I've watched probably 15 hours worth of Drone U stuff in the past week, 2 weeks. Just got my Phantom 4, so now I'm going to, once I get a couple jobs done, I think I'm going to go ahead and sign up for becoming a member of Drone U. I definitely see the value in it, and I'm super stoked. Just got to get the extra flow of cash in. to get the Drone U membership. So unless, of course, I win it through the little drawing, that would be awesome. Anyways, hope y'all are doing great. And if y'all need any, help down here in Atlanta at any point with Drone U, let me know. I'd love to work with you guys. All right, take it easy, guys.
So thank you very much for the question. I think it's a good one.
I thought it was interesting. I know he said he's been doing like 15 hours of drone use stuff. So he's probably been droning on and on for a while. And maybe that's why he droned on and on the question. but he brings up a good question.
Definitely.
I'm going to use Vic's example. Vic is our photography instructor class coming up shortly here on the Drone U site. If you are a member, it is free. It's really cool because it's not only about aerial videography, some of the stuff that you have maybe seen other people do, but it goes much, much deeper to give you a kind of an all-comprehensive or all-encompassing look at photography as a whole and the rules therein. So it's a great class. But what Vic does is he actually watermarks the photos, mm-hmm. kind of reduces the resolution a little bit. So instead of, 300 dpi, maybe he's doing 72 dpi dots per inch.
Right.
Cutting down the resolution. So this is something you can do in Photoshop where you can output the resolution to very low amounts so that there's really not a lot of detail. But you got to be careful because you still want to give a quality photo to the client to say, oh, wow, this is super cool. But what I would do if I were you is utilize your watermark in the dead center of the image.
Mm-hmm.
And, utilize the opacity bar and whatever your editing tool you're using, whether it's Photoshop, Lightroom, Capture One, whatever it is, when you put your logo in there and you can say for approval only, big white text, again, make it, about halfway see-through so that they can still see the image. It doesn't distract too much for the image, but they're not going to post that anywhere because it says for approval only, your watermark. And it's very clear to everyone where that image should and shouldn't be posted. This way, your client has the opportunity to view the image, but it also gives you some protection. And I'll say that because, even this morning, one of my videos was put up on a magazine company, and you've got to protect yourself. You've got to watermark your stuff. Whenever it gets out, you've just got to do it, even if it's on Instagram, even if it's on Twitter, wherever it is. It's just so important, so vital that you protect yourself in one way or another. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, is this something that you do? If you're taking a bunch of images or since you brought up Vic, is it something that he does or does he generally select the images that he's going to send them and there's not really like a selection process or is that relatively normal that you would give them the images? Say you took 50 or 100, however many you took, but they're only buying five. Are you going to give them 50 and let them choose the five? Is that normal?
I believe that is normal. I think that's what Vic does is he watermarks all of them and then says, here, you can select the ones that you'd like, which is a great way to make people desire more of your photos. That's for sure. For me, I normally choose the photos because I believe that I have a better eye than the client, but that can also get you in big trouble because they could be looking for something that you don't quite understand or know about. So I think the best thing to do is definitely like use a service like Hightail or Dropbox, where you're watermarking these images, uploading them, and they can see them. I like Hightail more as an option than Dropbox because you have a lot more flexibility and it's just a better service overall, especially for photographers and videographers.
Yeah, sure. So something else that just popped into my mind, I was wondering, do you put a signature or does Vic or do photographers generally like put a signature on the photo?
I feel like that's your watermark. Yeah, that's kind of like your Van Gogh right there.
So, but obviously in that case, it's going to be at the bottom right. I'm talking on the finished product. Not just the
normally, if they paid for your photos, this isn't the wedding industry. Normally, you're
fair enough.
normally,
or
if
just
you're,
the family photo industry, you see that a lot.
Oh no,
with
totally,
family photos.
Totally,
I'm totally sounding. Okay.
And there's a good reason for that. Their only way to get business is word of mouth. So when someone sees a beautiful picture of another wedding, their watermark is
sure.
right there. But when you're taking photos for a corporation, they own essentially a license to that photo, and that does not include your watermark.
Right.
That one way to really get in trouble is to watermark your photos that someone's paid for. And again, not the wedding industry, not family portraits. This is like corporate stuff, an architecture firm, you know.
Sure.
Oh man, if I were to do that, I would never be used ever again.
Well, I mean, so. It's just something that you know about the industry, and people that work in those industries know that. And
yeah,
you've got certain rights that are spelled out in the contract, although Vic doesn't use a contract, which is interesting to me.
He always...
Good old handshake.
Good old handshake. Man, which, don't I wish more people were like Vic.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think it would be a better world if more people like Vic. So what about... how would you handle this same issue with some video where you've got different shots?
This is where I've had the problem. Where I've got different shots that way.
No, but you're trying to have a client select which shots no. they want to use. Would you just not do that?
No, I wouldn't. Unless, like, normally if I'm shooting a video and they want to show certain things, we talk about that before the production. I absolutely never, ever, ever show my library to the client. Just because... Talk about a nightmare. No, it would be a nightmare, dude. It would be like...
No, I could see that. Logistically, it would be a nightmare.
Emotionally, it would be a nightmare too. Just because, I say that because.
Please explain.
All right.
That's deep.
Well, I say it because, like, if you have a client who's really nitpicky, which you really never know who those clients are, sometimes, if you have someone who's really nitpicky and they want a specific shot that they've gone through all of your shots and they see that specific shot and they think it's really cool and they want it in there, then all of a sudden what it turns into is use this shot in your timeline. Use this shot in your timeline. Replace this shot with this shot.
Yeah.
Do this shot with this shot. Well, I'm sorry, but normally if I am pricing a video for someone and I'm doing the editing, I have a revision clause in my contract which says that, you know, we will give you 10 days to review the draft
sure.
and make every change that you want. And then after that, that's it. And if you want additional revisions, it's going to cost more. Because normally if you give people the option to view all of your footage, they're going to want to make change after change after change after change. And simply like a, what is it called? Bridezilla? Yeah, just like a bridezilla, they turn into someone who you just absolutely... need to move out of the funnel to get another client into the funnel to maintain that efficient, profitable, not only margin, but the time spent on the margin.
Yeah, no, I understand. And they're paying you for your expertise and for your ability to tell a story by stitching the appropriate pieces of video together. And so they need to let you do that.
Yes.
And then they can see the final, quote unquote, a reviewable product and work together at that point. And that makes a lot of sense. I totally understand that. Yeah. So it's just a different animal than images.
True. But okay. Now there is one instance that I'm thinking of right now where this, man, there's always an exemption to the rule.
There's exceptions always, to every rule.
There's always. Okay. So for example, the whole, you know, calling these car dealerships and how I've been like, you know, trying to work my way in there and then successfully did. Well, it turned into now they have an advertising agency out of state. Not surprising at all that it's out of state, New Mexico, that is doing all of their videos, but they don't have a drone person.
Mm-hmm.
So they want me to show the drone clips. So I took my selects, the best of the best that I had to say, here is the library I can sell you. But I'm not selling them editing because they're an advertising agency. They have their own group that does all of that. I'm sure. Selling them the footage that I took at the dealership that they can then use to augment their existing footage.
Which is just a different type of deliverable, but that's not unusual necessarily. Sometimes you're the editor, sometimes they just want your video.
Correct. But in this example with, for example, me selling this library, I took the selects, so all of this buttery smooth footage.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a huge watermark over it and put it in, I think it was YouTube private with a password so they couldn't download it or anything. And
let them choose.
Yeah, but my deal is you either buy it all or nothing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, because...
What's the logic?
It's a package pricing.
Okay.
You know, it's... You know, do you want the pizza or do you want the lunch meal with the salad and the drink?
Hmm. I'm going to have to think about that, guys.
No. Okay. Let me put it to you this way. I'm not going to say, oh, you know, I'll sell you individual clips for, you know, $150 or $200. It just becomes daunting. It's like, here's all the footage I've taken at the dealership. You've got day, you've got night, you've got sunset, you've got traveling with cars, you've got revealing people, you've got everything you need.
Right.
And it's being sold as a package. But I will say that, like, okay, you want to use it on Facebook, that's going to be $2,500. You want to use it on Facebook and, you know, broadcast media and other, you know, platforms, that's going to be $7,500.
So it all comes down to the type of license that you're giving them.
Yes.
For that particular grouping of footage.
Yes.
That's really interesting. That's cool. Yeah. No, I think that's actually pretty beneficial information to folks out there who are looking at doing the same kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, because I could totally see where somebody might want to go ahead and sell a particular video for $150 or mm-hmm. so. People might choose to do that differently, but I understand the simplicity and the efficiency of doing it that way.
Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely. Definitely. Very interesting. I think that it just makes me come back to the beginning that in the kind of the macro overview that you've got to be selling packages. And when you nitpick people, you don't build trust with them. You're not relating with them. It's just becoming a more autonomous experience. And if you're going to be good with clients, if you're going to get the desires, or excuse me, if you're going to get the outcomes in which you desire, you have got to set a foundation of trust, relationship building, and the ability to relate to someone. And no one's going to relate to you if you're like, look, I'll sell you the cap to that bottle for $5 and the bottle for $10 and then $2.50 more to pour the tea in it. You know what I mean? Like, you get the bottle and the cap with the tea. It's a package.
Fair enough.
That's how I think about it.
No, that's cool. And so that's kind of your philosophy on it.
Yeah.
But somebody else might have a different philosophy.
And different things work for different people.
Exactly.
It's not just one way. So, yeah. And, you know, people have said like, oh, well, how can you just be so definitive and convicted that it's just one way? It's like, I've never said it's just one way. I'm just convicted and confident because it's what I do and it works.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you said that because I think that's good for people to hear that you're passionate and you have a certain way of going about things and certain philosophies that you adhere to that help make you successful.
Totally.
That doesn't mean that you have that expectation for other people.
That is totally true.
So it's important that people know that because that doesn't necessarily always come across. And it shouldn't. Otherwise, it's all null and void that you're feeling that way in the first place. All right. Now, we should probably move on. Guys, remember this podcast is for you and about you. And so get your questions in. AskDroneU.com. We love hearing them. I'm not listening to all the questions that have come in, but I still don't think I've seen or heard, I guess I wouldn't have seen, a question with a cool accent. Because we said we'd send somebody a hat, but we haven't seen that yet. So get that
definitely
in.
A lot of new things coming into DroneU too. We've got this new group coming up that I would like to talk about. I'm sure you guys have heard about it before, the Freedom Journal, something to help you stay motivated, write down your goals, focus on what you want to achieve and achieve that goal in 100 days, something by the EO Fire podcast group, John Lee Dumas. Well, one of the issues that we see with people who use the Freedom Journal is they have no one to keep them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can say all day long, hey, I'm going to keep myself accountable. And then like, oh, well, all right, I'll go to the gym tomorrow, or I'll write in the Freedom Journal tomorrow, or I'll do this today and not tomorrow. If we don't hold each other accountable, it kind of loses its purpose. So what we're doing is, if you're a DroneU member, we're going to be starting a new group where we are going to help you reach your business goals. If that's actually leaving your 9-to-5, your mediocre life that you've conformed to the horrible society and you're ready to break free of that and travel the world and enjoy waking up every morning, you know, like,
or travel your state, whatever the case,
whatever it is, or just be out in nature with a camera and a drone and enjoying another perspective. Or you want to hit every dealership in town and try and get new business, or you want to try and go after new realtors, or you want to go after a select business. Whatever your goal is, we're creating a group inside of our membership where we are going to collectively do this for 100 days. And we're going to be starting in a couple weeks, maybe next week, I'm kind of away for a week, so it kind of makes it difficult. But I want to get it started before the new year so that by the time we're in the new year, you already feel accomplished and that you've made progress to this goal, so you feel further motivated and further inspired.
It's like a head start to the year.
Exactly.
I like that, a running start.
It's like a jump start,
yeah.
You know?
Cool.
So I could use a jump start right now, which means more caffeine. And on that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.